and with her he found playing not just for the end result, but for the fun-filled journey. She began to move her fingers in and out, pressing deep and then shallow, curling her middle finger, her thumb strumming her clit. "Someday I'm going to put jewelry on you, and you're going to be in my car wearing nothing else, and I'm going to do everything I want to your body. You'll be driving. I don't have your discipline," she objected, leaning forward, extending her arm to share her glistening fingers with him. "I'll have a driver. Make him drive us all over the city." She laughed softly, her eyes darkening as he drew her finger into his mouth. "You like cars, don't you? Cars and you. Perfect combination. Push your t-shirt up so I can see your nipples. I'm busy. Keep your eyes on the road. You gave me 7 minutes. That's not a lot of time to get off. I like to take my time, prolong the journey." His cock was raging at him again, which didn't make sense when he'd blown so hot. He wanted to be alone with her back at his house. He'd promised to be a gentleman, but he had given himself the option of trying to seduce her. He told her kissing would be involved. He just hadn't said where on her body that kissing was going to take place. "You've got a wicked look on your face." Her voice was strained. She threw her head back, and her hips began to thrust in time with her fingers. Her thumb pressed harder. He pushed her hand away and took over. He wanted to use his mouth, draw all that sweet honey right out of her body, but he strummed her clit and then pinched roughly, taking his eyes from the road to look at her face just for that moment. She flushed, and her mouth opened, eyes darkening even more with lust. He pushed into her with a thick finger, curling deep, finding her sweet spot, hearing her ragged breathing as he began pumping in and out of her slick sheath. He added a second finger, stretching her, hearing her gasp. He flicked her clit, wishing he was sucking on her and could use his teeth. Her breathing was musical, the sound coming from her throat spurring him to be ruthless with his fingers. He couldn't see her, not when he was driving, so he kept up the work until he saw the parking garage he needed. At once he swept into it, still using his fingers on her. The moment he parked the car and turned it off, one-handed, he turned, unsnapping his belt, lifting her up by her bottom so he could bring her to his mouth. He felt like a starving man. She screamed when he plunged his tongue deep, when he raked her clit with his teeth, when he used his fingers and mouth in unison, taking her up again and again, until that little musical note had a sobbing melody. Hips bucking, she pressed herself to him, looking for release. He lifted his head away, and she chased after his mouth. He wiped his face on her thighs and rubbed the shadow along his jaw over her lips so the bristles stimulated her more. "What do you want, baby? Tell me." He'd never teased another woman before, never played games like he wanted to play, never let that side of him out. Now he wanted to hear her little cries, her pleas. He wanted her to ask him for her release, to acknowledge it was Giovanni giving it to her. That shit turned him on even more. "I want you to fuck me, but since we can't do that here, I want your mouth to take me over the edge." He kissed her, licked her, pushed his tongue in her, just to reward her. He took his time, sucking her clit, and then used his teeth again. "I love how hot you are. Ask me for it." "Ask you?" There was a hint of laughter mixed with the desperation. "I was thinking of ordering you."
"You could try it."
He used his fingers ruthlessly and stopped before she could get off. "But I doubt it will work."
"Giovanni, will you please get me off any way that you can? I'm a little desperate right now."
If he hadn't been falling for her, he would have right then. The laughter in her voice was music, like magic, sliding over and into him. He had been paying attention to every response, what took her high, fast, what she liked, didn't like, what had her hips moving out of control. She liked that bite he gave her, the deep thrust with two fingers that stretched and burned. Her response was more scorching hot, liquid honey. He took her over the edge, watching her face while she shattered. Nothing was more beautiful to him. He kept his fingers in her, wanting to feel every wave, wishing it was his cock that silken sheath surrounded. He watched the rippling of her stomach muscles, and the way her nipples hardened even more. He was desperate to have her under him, naked, for hours. She lay back, trying to catch her breath, while he licked her clean before pulling up her panties and jeans. She didn't move, her head resting against the door while she stared at him through half-closed eyes.
"You could be a little crazy, Giovanni."
"The good kind of crazy, and you bring it out in me. And I am compelled to point out, you started the whole sex in the car thing, so you're just as crazy." She threw her head back and laughed.
"Where do you want to have sex next? The middle of the street?"
He was grateful she wanted to have more sex with him. He pretended to contemplate the idea.
"I don't think the street is good, but I'll definitely make a list."
"Another list?" He nodded and helped her sit up. "You said you liked lists. I'm all for it, especially if you make a commitment to follow the list and get everything on it accomplished."
"What kind of things will be on it?"
"I have a favorite restaurant. They have this one table right in the center of the room. It's always gleaming, and every time I go in there I think, if I had a woman, I'd fuck her right on that table. It's the perfect height. I can take her so many ways, and that table is strong. The ceiling is decorated with diamond-shaped mirrors, and each wall has mirrors, so the entire room would reflect us."
"A restaurant?"
Her laughter rang out. "We'd probably ruin everyone's appetite, and they'd call the cops on us."
"We'd rent out the restaurant for the night, silly. I can't have other men looking at my woman's body. I'm a pervert, baby, but not that big of one."
She glanced away from him. She took a deep breath and let it out. "You know, if you told your cousins and brothers about me giving you a blowjob and then letting you devour me, you probably could make a lot of money."
His heart jerked hard, laughter fading.
"Is that what you think I'd do, Sasha? Is that why you think you're with me?
I don't know why I'm with you, but in the interest of reminding you, if you're ever broke, you could make some cash."
She reached for the door handle. He was faster, his hand stopping her.
"Look at me."
"I need to go in and see my brother."
"You need to look at me."
He felt her square her shoulders and brace herself. Her chin went up, and she turned her head back, so she was looking him in the eye.
"I'm with you because you're the one. I've looked all over the fucking world for you. I'm not letting you slip through my fingers."
"You don't know me."
"We're sitting in a car, outside a very expensive brain trauma rehabilitation live-in center. You're working two jobs in order to keep your brother in this place. One of those jobs you don't even like that much. I love family, and clearly you do as well. You gave me a mind-blowing blowjob in a car. I'm a very sexual person. I want my woman to be adventuresome and generous, both things you are. When some asshole went into your apartment, invading your space, taking away your security, you didn't flinch or fall apart. You handled it. You're comfortable with my crazy big family. You're not afraid of me. Baby, the list goes on and on. I'm giving you my word. I'm dead serious about you. I've never taken another woman to my home, to our territory, to the pizzeria, nor have I introduced her to my family. Not ever."
"You scare me," she objected.
He ran his finger over her lips, that mouth he loved.
"It's okay to be a little afraid, but you have no problem telling me or my brothers and cousins off, and you would have punched Darby right in the nose. I fucking love that. I forgot to include that on my list."
A small smile curved her mouth.
"I wanted to break it. What I really wanted to do was yank down his jeans. I believe in an eye for an eye. Trust me, his cock isn't that big. I felt it when he pulled me down on his lap."
He especially liked that she believed in an eye for an eye. She needed to believe that in order to be with him. There was so much about his life she would have to accept.
"You haven't said a word about how you feel about me."
Just putting it out there, giving her the opportunity to back out, was scary when he'd always been unafraid.
"Then you weren't listening, Giovanni," she said. I gave you a blowjob in a car while you were driving across town to go to see my brother. Do you think I do that with everyone I meet? Because I don't. I don't want to be attracted to you, or even like you. Your family is too notorious, and I don't even know if you're good or bad yet. Relief made him want to kiss her, but instead he got out, walked around to her door, and took her hand as she stepped out. Why did you give me a blowjob? Especially after the stupid things I said to you in the club. You're hot as hell, Giovanni, and you take my breath away every time I look at you. I couldn't believe how sweet you were to me. Your entire family came to help. I liked them all. No one was pretentious or condescending, especially not you. I felt safe with you. I still do. He knew when their shadows touched, the intensity of their mutual physical attraction was amplified,
mainly because they each felt the other's emotions.
She didn't understand that, nor would she until he told her about Shadow Riders, what they could do, and why it was that she could hear lies. Are we done with that silly game, Sasha? Because I never want to hear about it again. She was silent as they walked up to the front doors. He stopped moving, forcing her to stop as well. Woman, you didn't answer me. I'm considering. It seems a little too early to just put that aside. I think it's letting you off easy. I always make it a point to keep my word, so I'm not just going to give it to you without thinking this over carefully. I might need some leverage, something to even the playing field. I'm beginning to see the appeal of whips and handcuffs, he groused, pulling her close to him. She burst out laughing, the sound carefree and happy. Everything in him should have settled. She wouldn't laugh like that unless she forgave his idiot game. After all that had happened to her, to sound like that. He tipped her face up to his and took her mouth. Immediately, she wrapped her arms around his neck and pressed her body into his. He loved the way she gave herself to him. Everything. She'd done it earlier as well, holding nothing back. That was on his list of things he loved about her. So many. Especially the way she kissed. That uneasiness in him didn't subside when he kissed her, in spite of the fact that she was clearly over the game he'd invented. Of course, he wasn't about to admit to her that he'd been the one to think it up because he was so damn bored playing the role of playboy that he was sulking all the time. He lifted his head slowly, turning slightly so he could angle his body to keep her between him and the facility's front door and the street. He looked carefully around. His uneasiness grew. Her fingers tightened on his jacket sleeve. Giovanni? Her voice trembled slightly. She kept it low, so it wouldn't travel past him. I know, baby. He's out there. He was following us. The boys set up a trap, but he didn't fall for it. I thought we lost him, though. I don't see how he wasn't spotted the way I drove here. I wondered why you took such a roundabout route. Let's get you inside. I'll tell Emilio and Enzo he's still watching you. We'll visit with your brother and ignore the asshole. Let the boys try to find him. If they can't, when we get back to my home, believe me, there's no way in for him. You'll be safe there tonight. We'll figure out what to do in the morning when we're both fresh. But... She trailed off and then nodded. Good. Have fun with your brother. Take your time and put everything else out of your head. I want you to introduce me to him. He might not remember this time or next that I visit, but hopefully he'll come to accept me with you. He was already texting Emilio as they went inside and shut the door. Chapter 7 Sandlin Provis was a good-looking man in spite of the head-on collision. There were very few scars, and none of them were prominent. He had a small one up by his temple and another curving close to his cheekbone, but other than that, he looked as if he was in perfect health and always had been. Giovanni could see the resemblance to Sasha the moment they entered the common room, where he was sitting quietly in a corner, reading a book. His curly hair was the same nearly platinum blonde his sister had. His eyes were that exact sapphire blue. The scruff on his jaw was mostly blonde. "Sandlin," Sasha greeted, her voice filled with genuine love. "You look good tonight. I've missed you." The man looked up, blinking at her, and then a slow, almost childlike smile slipped over his face. "Hello?" He marked his place in his book and carefully closed it, his actions unhurried and deliberate. "Are you looking for someone?" Giovanni was looking at Sasha, and he saw the hurt and sadness in her expression, hastily covered by a smile. "You, Sandlin. I was looking for you. I would very much like to visit with you if you have time. My name is Sasha, and I'm your sister. I've brought a friend with me. This is Giovanni Ferraro." She indicated him, but kept her gaze fixed on her brother. He stood, using the same slow, deliberate movements that he had when closing his book. Giovanni stepped forward and held out his hand. Sandlin took it without hesitation. Surprisingly, his grip was strong. "I'm the man who is with your sister," Giovanni explained. "I wanted to come and see you so you'll know she's well looked after." Sandlin regarded him with an open, sweet expression. "That's good." He indicated the chairs closer to the fireplace. "Let's sit over there. I like being close to the fire. It keeps me warm." They walked toward the fireplace. The flames gave off shadows, some dancing across the wood floor. Giovanni stepped into one and felt the pull against him, the way the shadows tugged at his body. When he stepped out of that one into the next, he had a shock. Sandlin's shadow, thrown by the light, had connected with Giovanni's. Like Sasha, he was a potential shadow rider, his shadow throwing out tubes to connect with every shadow around him. Giovanni watched his face very carefully and saw the exact moment information and emotion hit him. Sandlin turned his head to look at Giovanni, to study his facial features. There was no guile whatsoever in him, but his shocking blue eyes were speculative as he stared at Giovanni. "Do I know you?" Giovanni shook his head. "No. I came with your sister to make certain you knew I would take good care of her." He wanted to reiterate that Sasha was his sibling and that Giovanni was good for her. "You feel scary?" Giovanni nodded. "I can be scary to some people. Not to you. Certainly not to Sasha." Sandlin frowned and shook his head. "I meant another word. I don't like it when I can't think of what I want to say." His expression cleared, changed at once to glee. "Powerful! You're powerful! Our shadows touch, and I know you." Giovanni nodded. "That's right. When our shadows touch, you can tell whether or not someone is lying to you, right?" Sandlin sank into one of the armchairs. He gripped the arm with strong fingers. "I don't like lies. They hurt my ears." He rubbed at his temples, as if remembering a painful experience. "That happens to me as well," Giovanni said. He caught Sasha as she started past him, pulling her to him so that her back was pressed tight against his front, his arms around her waist. He moved them both into the next shadow that touched Sandlin's. The jolt hit him hard. All three were connected now, tubes reaching for one another, their shadows intertwining. Sasha gasped and looked up at him, but he kept his gaze fixed on Sandlin's face. The man felt it, too, that initial hit, a rush of information crowding in, too much to be analyzed all at once. Sandlin and Sasha definitely could have been riders, both of them sensitive to the pull of the shadows as well as to the intelligence pouring in. The ability in them was extremely strong. Giovanni had known Sasha's character from the moment their shadows had touched. He'd felt her sweet, compassionate nature, coupled with her independent, fiery side. Sandlin had a will of steel, but his childlike, open qualities overshadowed that will. He wanted to please those around him, for the most part. It was important for Giovanni to protect his woman, even from her own brother, if it was necessary. Mariko, Rico's wife, had been targeted by her own brother and the woman who had raised the two of them. Giovanni wasn't about to overlook any threat to Sasha. He was adept at reading shadows and hearing lies. He'd been trained from the time he was a child. He couldn't imagine Sandlin being a threat to anyone, but he wasn't about to make mistakes based on compassion or any other gentler emotion. Sandlin, for all his childlike ways, and the fact that he couldn't hold on to information, at least anything in his memory banks, was a shrewd man. "I've never felt anyone as powerful or as dangerous as you," Sasha admitted in a low voice. "When all three of our shadows touched like that, your pull was so strong I had to move into you. That was extraordinary, and a little scary. I've always been able to hear lies, and so has Sandlin. I can feel other people's emotions, but never that strong. It's nowhere near that strong." "I've been trained in the use of shadows," he said by way of explanation. He couldn't go into his family's legacy, not there. Giovanni stepped out of the shadow and led Sasha to the low-slung love seat across from Sandlin. The flames rose up, dancing, as if a breeze had entered the room. Sandlin watched him the entire way. He looked a pale child, helplessly watching a predator draw close. "What have you been doing today?" Sasha asked, as she settled on the small love seat. Giovanni sat next to her, one arm sliding out along the back of the couch to circle behind her shoulders, trying to offer her reassurance. Her body trembled, small little continual tremors he doubted she was aware of. She kept her smile with a steady, concentrated effort as she regarded her brother. He ignored her, staring at Giovanni. "You have done bad things." It was a child's accusation, sounding a little twisted coming from a grown adult. Giovanni stayed in complete control, not wincing away from the truth, refusing to give away anything to Sasha through body language. He had done bad things. At least those things could be considered bad if the wrong people knew about them. He was a rider, and that meant his job was to bring justice to those who had escaped the law. He nodded his head. "Yes, Sandlin, that's true. I have done bad things. Not to your sister, but many people might say I'm a bad person, judging me on things they don't understand. But I'm not bad to your sister, nor would I ever be. Bad people are afraid of me, not your sister." His voice rang with sincerity, and he hoped Sandlin would quit regarding him with suspicion. Sandlin continued to stare at him with the same frown that Giovanni liked seeing on Sasha's face. She could melt him just with her expressions alone, which didn't bode well for his future. She would be able to play him so easily, and, sadly, he could tell he was going to be one of those men who gave her anything and everything she wanted. He bent his head to brush a kiss through her thick hair. "You don't feel like the other man did," Sandlin said. "He felt funny. I didn't like him." Sasha frowned at Giovanni. "Who's he talking about?"
"Hell if I know."
"Buddy, you're going to have to be more precise. Who felt funny to you?"
"He was just here," Sandlin insisted, scowling at them, beginning to look petulant. "Right before you. He interrupted my reading, too. I don't like that. Not when it's at a good part. How am I supposed to figure out who did the killing when I'm interrupted?"
Beside him, Sasha had begun to tense up. He slid his hand under her fall of curls to wrap his fingers around the nape of her neck, massaging gently in hopes of easing the tension out of her.
"He gets agitated sometimes," she whispered, "and he mixes things up. He might have been reading about someone coming into a room and interrupting the hero."
Giovanni didn't think so, and apprehension grew in the pit of his stomach. He leaned toward Sandlin. "Can you describe the man who came to see you tonight?"
Sandlin looked puzzled. "No, he was a man."
Giovanni was silent, trying to think how to get Sandlin's cooperation.
"Can you give us clues, and we'll try to guess?"
Sandlin's face lit up. Once more, he looked like the sweet child he'd been when they'd first arrived.
"Yes, we can solve the mystery. He wore a brown coat, a big one, with a hood."
Sasha frowned, her eyes meeting Giovanni's.
"Do you think someone was really here tonight? We don't know anyone here."
"Don't they have to sign in?"
"I thought so. They know me here, and
I've not signed in for the last month or so. Maybe they've changed their policy.
We'll ask. I'll want to speak to someone in charge, Giovanni said. He knew once a Ferraro was involved, the center would do just about anything to keep him happy. He represented the potential of millions of dollars coming their way in donations.
You didn't figure it out, Sandlin said. You need to think about it.
We need another clue.
Sandlin looked deflated. Clearly, he didn't have anything else he remembered. His face suddenly lit up, and he fished something out of his pocket. Giovanni heard Sasha gasp.
She went pale and leaned toward her brother to better see what he had in his hand.
Sandlin stared down at the object and then held it out. I think this belongs to her, not me. He said it was mine and he was returning it to me, but it isn't. It's the keychain, the one taken from my apartment. She got up and crossed the short distance to take the keychain from her brother. Thanks, Sandlin. You're right. This is mine. You gave it to me. See? She showed him the picture. That's me on the horse the year I won the championship for barrel racing. That same year, you won at bull riding. You wanted to go on the circuit, and you were good enough, too. But then Dad got sick.
There were tears in Sasha's voice, but not in her eyes, and that broke Giovanni's heart. She turned back to him.
He was here. How did he know about Sandlin? How could he possibly know about my brother?
Her voice was swinging a little toward hysteria. He was in your apartment, going through your things, your mail. He would have found bills and correspondence from the center. She took a breath, desperately trying to be calm.
What if he's in danger? I don't know what to do now.
Giovanni stood up and drew her into his arms. I'll take care of this baby. He'll be safe. I'll go now and talk to the front desk.
They can't do anything, Sasha protested. It's late, and no one is ever here that can answer questions or make decisions.
Frustration laced the fear in her voice. They'll get their administrator on the phone, and he'll come down.
Giovanni bent to kiss her. She tasted like cinnamon candy apples. He didn't know why that appealed to him so much, but suddenly that was his favorite flavor.
He smiled at Sandlin. You've stumped us, Sandlin. I don't think we're good at figuring out mysteries.
Sandlin smiled angelically. I'm not very good either, he admitted. I forget the clues. Do you want me to read to you?
Sasha asked.
Sandlin nodded eagerly. Yes, I remember you now. You read to me, and you do the voices. I like that.
Giovanni left them to it and strode down the hall to the front desk. Within a half an hour, and he paced the entire time, the head administrator and his assistant were locked in an office with him, viewing the security tapes. There was no way to identify the man who had come to see Sandlin. He hadn't signed in. The woman at the front desk had waved the stranger on through, still wearing his hoodie, chatting a couple of minutes and then giving him directions to the lounge. Giovanni's jaw tightened. He swung his gaze to Sonny Goodman's. The man ran the entire center, and it was clear he was embarrassed and angry at his employee's behavior.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ferraro. She was hired a month or so ago, and it's clear she isn't doing her job.
This man is a stalker. He's been stalking my fiancée, and now he's here, with access to her brother. He's a dangerous man, and this is a threat. I believe Sandlin is in danger.
We're so sorry this slipped through. Goodman repeated. Sandlin will be protected.
I want to talk to his doctor, and I want a full report of this incident given to the police. Sandlin had better be protected. I will be hiring extra security for him as well. No one should get through to see him other than his sister, me, or one of my family.
I had no idea Miss Provis was connected to your family, Goodman said.
Information like that would make her a target of every kidnapper in the country. I would appreciate it if you kept it under wraps. He looked at Goodman's assistant. Harriet Perkins was about 30, and she kept staring at him and blushing. Goodman wouldn't tell a soul, but Harriet probably wouldn't be able to stop herself.
She would want all her closest friends to know she'd met one of the famous Ferraros.
Miss Perkins? I would never tell anyone, she said. Not a single word of this. I don't mind you telling your friends that you met me, but please, don't connect my name with Miss Provis or her brother. He gave her his most charming smile. He knew from the nearly excited look in her eye that he didn't have a prayer she'd keep her mouth shut. She would want to be in the spotlight. He cursed under his breath, holding on to his smile grimly, but trying one more time. There would be fallout from this. You have no idea, he told Goodman, but mostly for Harriet's sake. The circus that would ensue if reporters found out the connection between Sandlin and my family. They would be bribing your staff, sneaking in and making things up about your facility. This really needs to stay quiet. I understand, Goodman said, bobbing his head. He looked at his assistant. Harriet is very discreet. She's been with me 5 years. Giovanni could have told him those 5 years meant nothing if bribery were involved. Still, he'd done what he could to protect Sandlin from Sasha's stalker. He'd given Goodman the name of a security company his family trusted and assured he'd pay. He wanted Goodman to check them out thoroughly because Giovanni would be sending men over to help keep Sandlin safe. At first, Goodman had assured him they could handle it, but Giovanni insisted, and Goodman capitulated under the pressure at the thought of the Ferraros being patrons of his center. Money could be a pain, but in the end, it always talked. Goodman escorted him back down the hall to the room where he'd left Sasha. Sandlin was stretched out on the couch he'd been originally on when they came to visit. Sasha sat with his head in her lap, her fingers running through her brother's hair while she read to him. Sandlin had his eyes closed, but there was a smile on his face. The long bank of lights overhead shone down brightly, like a spotlight, illuminating the two of them so that with their blonde curls they looked almost angelic. Twice, while Giovanni watched them, Sandlin caught at Sasha's wrist and said something, his entire body quivering with excitement. She nodded and made some kind of animal sound, a dog barking, a cat meowing, whatever the story called for. Satisfied, Sandlin would subside again. "How's he doing?" Giovanni asked. "He's not going to recover," Goodman said, not beating around the bush. "The center is helping him learn to walk and put on his clothes, but he's never going to be able to live on his own outside a facility. I know that's his sister's ultimate goal. She thinks she'll be able to bring him home with her, but it won't happen. Most of the time Sandlin is sweet and agreeable, but he has periods of agitation, and he strikes out at the staff. He has seizures as well. His medication is extremely important, and sometimes he refuses to take it." "When you say agitated, could he hurt Sasha?" Goodman frowned and stroked his salt-and-pepper beard. "I would hope not. But, of course, it's possible. He has periods of time where he's in a great deal of pain. The headaches are so severe that we have to sedate him. Unfortunately, they'll grow worse as time goes on." Giovanni stiffened. "What are you saying? Does Sasha know this?" He didn't care that it sounded as if his fiancée hadn't shared all the facts with him. "The head injury is very severe. His prognosis isn't good. At most, he might live another 3 years. We're giving him the best possible environment, but there is nothing to be done for him. She's consulted the best surgeons in the country, but the answer is always the same. There was too much damage. She doesn't want to accept that diagnosis, and I can't blame her. She loves him, and he's the last of her family. I can see that they're very close. Sandlin doesn't recognize her face, but somewhere inside him, he remembers her, because if she can't visit for longer than 3 days, he becomes extremely upset." "Have you told her that?" Giovanni asked. Goodman shook his head. "What's the use? She works 2 jobs, just to pay to keep him here. Making her feel guilty when she's already trying to do her best for him wouldn't do her any good. It's about her understanding that he does remember her. Not the way he would like, but the memory is somewhere inside him. She needs to know that." Giovanni felt his heart clench in his chest when Sandlin suddenly pushed the book to one side and waited for his sister to look down at him. His smile was beautiful, reminding Giovanni of an innocent child's.
He's still very intelligent, isn't he?
Goodman nodded.
Very much so. It's strange what brain injuries can do.
It's wiped his memory, so we had to teach him to walk and talk again. Yet he can solve incredible math problems. He can read at any level, but he doesn't always remember that he read a book the night before.
Is he good with the nurses?
That's the other remarkable thing. We had to teach him to talk. He doesn't know his sister, but he never fails to remember manners. The brain is still such a mystery.
Giovanni held out his hand.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. You have my number if you should need it. I'll be checking in regularly, as will my people.
I'm very sorry that Tammy, at the front desk, allowed a total stranger through.
He turned back, looking toward the front of the building, anger building all over again.
She won't be very long in her job.
He clearly planned to fire her right away. Giovanni had to agree with the administrator's decision. All the patients or clients in the facility were vulnerable. It was Tammy's duty to guard them, not just wave people through.
Make certain you get a full description of the intruder from her, if at all possible.
He suspected that wouldn't happen. Watching the tape several times had him believing Tammy was more interested in doing drugs and talking on the phone to her friends than doing her job. He'd been a rider too long not to recognize all the signs. He crossed the room to stand behind the couch, one hand sliding into the thick, silky curls tumbling down Sasha's back.
It's past visitor's time, honey. They want Sandlin in his room.
She closed the book reluctantly.
I was thinking maybe he should come home with me just for a few days so I know he's safe.
Sandlin sat up, a frown on his face as he took his book from his sister's hands. Giovanni smiled to reassure him.
It's under control, Sasha. This is home to him, and he's comfortable here. He's gotten to know the staff and the routine. Moving him would only make it difficult for him.
Easier for you, but much more difficult for him, and you don't want that.
Sandlin's fingers bit down on Sasha's arm hard enough to hurt her. He could see the whiteness in the knuckles.
His shadow tells me things.
Giovanni knew that others would think Sandlin was lost in his mind if he spoke of shadows, but nevertheless, it made him uneasy. He couldn't talk to Sasha about his work, not until she had committed. Breaking with a shadow rider had long-reaching consequences once his or her shadow tangled together with the chosen partners. Already, he could feel Sasha mixed with himself. It was oddly potent, adding to the emotional high he got just from being with her. It also added, evidently, to the intensity of sexual attraction. He'd never been so physically attuned to a woman. It was all he could do to keep his mind from straying to thoughts of her.
"I know, sweetheart," Sasha said gently. "We're good at reading shadows."
"What does it tell you?" Giovanni asked.
Sandlin leapt up, snatched the book from Sasha's hands, and hurried out of the room.
Sasha stared after him, getting to her feet much more slowly.
Tears swam in her eyes, and Giovanni immediately pulled her into his arms. She hadn't cried for herself, but this with her brother, was threatening to crush her. He felt the weight of her sorrow. Goodman might not think she knew her brother's prognosis, but she did.
"He'll be safe," he said. "I've already put in a call to a security company we use sometimes. They're all former soldiers, good men, very well trained. Sandlin will have round-the-clock protection. Goodman has agreed to use them. The woman at the front desk is supposed to have every single visitor logged in, but she hasn't been doing her job. She'll be fired. She's a terrible liability for them. Patients might have wandered off, and if this intruder was looking to harm Sandlin, he could have hurt not only your brother, but any of the other patients as well." He walked her from the room, down the hall toward the front door, shielding her as best he could with his body, when some of the night staff came out of the rooms to gawk at them. Really, he knew, at him. But she wouldn't want to be seen crying. She stuck her chin out and kept walking, not looking at anyone as they made their way outside. Emilio and Enzo were waiting. He lifted his eyebrow, but Emilio shook his head.
They hadn't found him. Giovanni was fairly certain they wouldn't. Whoever was stalking Sasha was very clever. A cockroach, Giovanni thought him. One that disappeared into cracks and came out when no one noticed. Emilio walked ahead of him, Enzo just behind. They made a show of it, wanting whoever it was, if he was observing, to know that Sasha wasn't alone anymore. "Has anyone ever made you uneasy?" Giovanni asked as they walked through the parking garage toward his car. "Anyone at all? In a grocery store? A clerk? Bumping into someone at a bank or perhaps a teller? In the club? Someone fixating on you?" She looked up at him, and, to his astonishment, those sapphire eyes held amusement and a hint of mischief. "Only you?" He felt the smile start somewhere around the vicinity of his heart. "I guess I had that coming. I did fixate on you, didn't I? Someone other than me." The amusement faded, and she shook her head. "No, but then I've been so busy the last couple of months. I set up my brother in the facility and found my apartment. I was lucky. The former tenant moved right before I applied. Pietro said she wanted to go to Salt Lake to be with her grandson and his wife. I got the job at the club and then the deli. I wouldn't have noticed someone fixating on me if they came up and bit me." He glanced over his shoulder as if he could still see the Hendricks Center. "What about when you visit your brother? When you first brought him here, you had to be very aware of anyone who came near him." He paused by the car, reaching for the passenger door. "I wanted to investigate everyone," she agreed, shifting her weight from foot to foot. It was the only real sign of nerves she'd given. He opened the door, glanced into the car as he stepped back to allow her entry, and froze. The bomb was sitting right out in the open, on the driver's seat. There were wires looped all through the steering wheel and going across to the passenger seat. "Wait!" He caught her arm and pulled her back behind him, away from the car. He'd practically thrown her, using more force than he intended. "Damn it! He got into my car. You can't just break that easily into these types of cars. Emilio! Enzo! Move back! Fast!" Even walking, he was already sending a mass text to his family. "We can't stay here," he said, hurrying her back toward the elevator. "If he has a remote detonator, he could kill everyone." The bodyguards closed around them, taking them to the outermost section of the garage. "This is getting out of hand, Emilio. I want her somewhere safe where this psycho can't get to her."
"Detonator? Is there a bomb?"
Her voice was very steady.
"Giovanni, I'm not the fainting type. If he's done something else and I see it, there's a possibility that I can identify him through something he's used, or the way he does it. You know that. I don't fall apart easily."
She didn't, but he wanted to protect her from everything. What was the use of his family, of all of his training? He might not be able to ride shadows because of the hardware in his leg, but he still was lethal as all hell. He had money, power. None of that seemed to matter. All the security at his disposal, and Sasha was still being terrorized. "I'm not calling the police this time, honey. I'm sending you back to the hotel to stay with Francesca." Sasha remained at his side, not moving around him, not trying to fight him, although her gaze continually strayed toward the car. She waited patiently until he was finished with the text messages, and then looked at him expectantly. Giovanni couldn't have told anyone why, but just the fact that she did that, waited for him to call in reinforcements without harassing him or asking questions when she had every right to, made him want to fall right at her feet. She was amazing to him. He almost couldn't believe she existed. A woman who actually told the truth. She said what she meant. She looked him straight in the eye without guile. She didn't get hysterical or cry to manipulate him, and her tears would work. She had every right to break down, but she didn't. "He's put a bomb in the car. I only glanced at it, but I didn't see the wires connected to anything. That doesn't mean it's safe. I'm okay with bombs, but Vittorio is an expert. He's going to take a look and tell us if it's legit or not. In the meantime, I'm going to have Demetrio and Drago drive you to the hotel, where Stefano lives, as soon as they get here. They're on the way. They'll take you up to Francesca. She was already protesting, shaking her head.
Absolutely not. I'm staying with you. This is my mess, and I'm not taking it to Francesca.
Francesca is safe at the top of the Ferraro Hotel, Sasha, he said. His brothers were converging from every direction, moving out of the shadows, their pinstriped suits making it nearly impossible to see them until they stepped completely out of the dark.
That's the safest place I know for you right now, Giovanni said. If you're there, I won't have my attention divided, trying to keep my eye on you and deal with this mess.
You can't deal with a bomb. They have professionals for that.
We were all taught to disarm various types of bombs, honey.
He brushed back her hair with gentle fingers. It wasn't like he had a lot of time to put this thing together. For all I know, it's all show. If he wanted us dead, why didn't he hide the damn thing? Or blow it when we walked up to the car? It's probably not armed, but I'd feel better if you joined Francesca, got a little sleep, and then we can figure things out when we're all feeling fresh in the morning.
Sasha looked startled as Stefano and then his other brothers strode up to them. Where did you all come from? That was fast.
Riding shadows was fast. Sometimes it felt as if his entire body was torn to pieces and parts of him were left behind. The faster the tube, the worse the sensation. Still, it was what he'd been born to do. Sasha and her brother, Sandlin, had also been born with the ability, but it was too late to adequately teach her to do anything but get from one place to another. Giovanni's father had used the ability to carry on affairs. He wouldn't want to think that his wife might do the same.
"Sasha, are you all right?"
Stefano asked immediately.
"Yes, I'm fine.
I'm actually more shaken up that this man managed to walk right into a closed and guarded facility and see my brother. That made me feel as if Sandlin was extremely vulnerable. He can't take care of himself, and I have no idea what this person wants with me, let alone with him."
The little catch in her voice was nearly Giovanni's undoing. He pulled her into his arms and nuzzled the top of her head with his chin.
"I'm so sorry, baby. We'll sort this out. I hate that you're having to get involved, and I may have inadvertently put you in danger." Her head came back against his chest, and she briefly closed her eyes.
"Tell me why you aren't going to involve the police."
"The fact that he broke into your house made him a stalker, Sasha," Stefano said. "Police can help with that sort of thing. Perhaps investigate where we can't as fast. This puts him in an altogether different category. We can work this far faster than they can. You'll have to trust us."
Her gaze was fixed on Stefano's face. "You're saying that you believe he's a real threat to my life, or my brother's life, maybe even Giovanni's, and your family plans to take care of him yourselves?"
Giovanni held his breath. His woman was intelligent and reading between the lines. Stefano nodded.
"That's exactly what I'm saying."
"I have a concealed weapons permit," she volunteered. "I don't carry, but I could if you think it's necessary. My guns are locked up in the safe at the deli. Pietro was sweet. I inherited my grandparents, parents, and my brothers. They're all hunting weapons, and the handguns were for shooting ground squirrels and snakes. I'm a good shot. Well, actually a marksman, but that's neither here nor there. Do you think I should be armed?"
"Right now, I think you need to be anywhere but here," Giovanni answered.
"Don't."
Her protest came out a whisper. She looked at each of his brothers' faces, then his.
"You intend to kill him if you find him, don't you?"
She stared Giovanni straight in the eye, just as Emme entered. He couldn't look away. This was a telling moment. Most people would give them a lecture about taking a life and say that it was up to the criminal justice system. She either accepted that some men were outside that law and got away with crimes all the time, or she wouldn't. He didn't look away. He had to know if she could accept who his family was and what they stood for. He nodded slowly. He'd learned not to speak aloud anything that might incriminate his family. Stefano had all but said the same thing to her.
"I would, too," she said. "I think I'm getting one of the handguns out of the safe."
Taking a life is never easy, nor should it be done lightly, Stefano warned.
It's called self-defense, Sasha said. I have the right to protect myself and my brother. Just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I'm not capable of shooting someone coming at me.
I'm a woman, M.A. reminded gently. She reached for Sasha's hand.
My brothers know a woman can be strong. Right now, Francesca, who we all love dearly, is being guarded by Mariko, a woman. She's trusted to look after Stefano's and our family's most precious treasure. Nothing is going to happen to your brother. We won't let it. You're not alone in this.
Sasha looked around at the tight circle, and then the four men standing guard over them. She swallowed hard and nodded.
Thank you, all of you. I don't know why you're helping me like this, but I appreciate it.
Dimitrio and Drago are going to drive you back, Sasha, Giovanni reiterated. Please go with them and stay in the hotel with Francesca and Mariko. I'll be there as soon as I can. Go to bed, and just forget all this.
She glanced at her watch. I do have to work tomorrow. Both jobs.
Before he could protest, she stopped him.
You know why. I can't miss any hours on my paycheck. Sandlin deserves the best of care, and I'm going to give it to him.
Honey, it's absurd for you to think that I wouldn't help you, Giovanni said.
I'm accepting the clothes from Lucia's treasures, which isn't easy for me, Sasha pointed out. But Sandlin is mine. I don't know how else to put it. I have to be the one to take care of him. He'd do it for me.
Giovanni wasn't going to argue. He'd gotten the concession from her of accepting clothing, and he'd had everything sent to his home, including a few extra things she didn't know about. He'd assumed he would have a fight on his hands. She was that independent. But with her allowance, he was getting off the hook.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Go to the hotel. Have chocolate. Talk to Francesca and Mariko, and then go to bed. The place is enormous, and you won't be disturbing anyone or putting my brother and sister-in-law out. We crash there all the time.
We're all here, standing mostly in the dark, with these giant columns around us. Why?
Giovanni didn't know whether to curse because she was so damn smart or shake her.
You notice Emme just joined us later than the others, right? She searched the garage for your stalker, just in case he was standing by with a remote to detonate the bomb. Or if he was hiding, hoping the damn thing would go off and he could see us blown to smithereens.
I see. You kept his attention on you while she searched.
He was less likely to think a woman would be with us under the circumstances. Emme is very thorough.
Sasha started to step away from him, but Giovanni caught her, turned her around and pulled her body up against his.
He tipped her chin up and took possession of her mouth. There was just something about the way she responded every time. Her body melted into his without the least hesitation.
Her mouth opened under his, and when he swept inside, she gave him everything. Instant everything. She gave herself to him.
He loved the way she did that, the way she tasted. That exotic apple cinnamon that seemed to be always on his tongue, where he could just barely taste it, setting up a craving for more. He definitely needed more. He kissed her like she belonged to him, and they were completely alone, because when he was kissing her, the world faded away and there was only pure feeling.
Stefano made a sound, clearing his throat, and Giovanni snapped out of it, remembering what he was supposed to be doing.
He handed her off to Dimitrio and turned back to his brothers, the smile fading to be replaced by the very serious face of the Grim Reaper.
Let's get this done.
Chapter 8 Pleasure burst through him. Giovanni opened his eyes, acclimating himself immediately in the way he had been trained. It wasn't easy with hot blood rushing through his veins, spreading flames throughout his body. Silk glided over the bare muscles of his thighs, adding to the roaring in his mind and the thunder in his ears. He dropped his hand onto her head, fingers tunneling into Sasha's mass of curls. He'd spent the better part of the night with his brothers and cousins in the parking garage,
dismantling the bomb, which hadn't been hooked up. It had merely been sitting on the driver's seat. Still, they took it apart and carefully had each piece sent for analyzing, to find everything they could get from it. He was in Stefano's penthouse, where he'd crawled into bed beside a sleeping Sasha. The drapes were pulled, but he knew it was early, no more than 5 in the morning. Her mouth was busy, taking him straight to paradise, hot and wet and clamped tightly around him. She swallowed him down and then drew back, all the while her hands stroking and caressing the inside of his thighs, his balls, and then the base of his shaft as he emerged slowly from the wet heat. He recognized the feel of her mouth surrounding him. No one could ever feel so exquisite. A kind of ecstasy, blood pounding through him, his body hot, his heart beating through his cock right into her mouth. He couldn't help himself. He began to thrust lightly with his hips, pushing deeper into paradise, feeling every streak of lightning flash through his body straight to his groin. He groaned when she tightened her mouth around him, when her tongue danced and flicked, when she teased his crown or took him so deep he pressed into her throat so that she squeezed him like a vice. She had magic in her, a skill that was unbelievable. He caught her hair on either side of her head, bunching it inside his fists, holding her head still so he could control every movement, his body spinning out of control. She was Sasha, and she gave him that, relaxing for him, letting him take his own pleasure for just a few minutes while his cock swelled, filling her so fully she barely could breathe. He was forced to let her head up when he saw her eyes swimming with liquid, but there was laughter there, joy. She loved what she was doing. Her hand slid down between her legs, and that was his undoing. Giovanni pulled her off him completely, his cock furious, desperate and ferociously hungry. He'd never been like that in his life. "Get on your hands and knees." It was an order, nothing less, and he was already catching her around the waist and lifting her to the position he needed her in. One hand caught the nape of her neck and thrust her head toward the mattress, while he knelt behind her, feeling her slickness, ensuring she was ready for him. He took her hard. The moment he slammed his cock home, pushing ruthlessly through the tightest muscles he'd ever encountered, her sheath bit at him, clamping down like a vice. The friction nearly sent him over the edge. She cried out and pushed back into him. Her bottom was up in the air, that beautiful ass he watched sway every chance he got. He smacked it, watching his handprint appear on her pale skin, feeling the flood of liquid coating his cock. "You're so fucking beautiful, Sasha." His voice was hoarse. He couldn't stop moving, surging deep, retreating, thrusting again and again. Between each deep thrust, he added more color to her pale cheeks, reveling in the way she surrounded him with scorching liquid each time. Her breath came in ragged gasps, little soft cries and whispered pleas for more. He wasn't certain what the more was, so he gave her both, his body a piston now, hammering into hers, while fire streaked up through his body, threatening to engulf him with flames. He didn't care if he burned alive, as long as he could feel this ecstasy again and again. He wanted it to go on forever. One thing he knew, he loved fucking her. He loved her bare ass, the shape of her, the feel of her, the way she moved, the way she responded to his brand of sex, rough, hot, demanding. She made her own demands. She wasn't timid about what she wanted. She used her body to tell him, slamming back into him, impaling herself while he surged forward. Her breast swung with every jolt, and he wished he could suck on her delicious nipples while he took her. He wanted his cock in her mouth. She was the hottest thing he'd ever known, and he knew no other woman would ever satisfy him after Sasha's brand of lovemaking. Without warning, her body clamped down hard on his, muscles gripping and milking. He felt his seed boiling, hot, rising like a volcano. Vaguely, in the back of his mind, he realized he hadn't worn a condom, but it didn't matter. If he got her pregnant, so be it. He was marrying her. She was going to give him children. "Giovanni." Her voice was breathless.
I can't hang on. You have to pull out.
Not pulling out. It was already too late. The orgasm took him like a friend.